Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. It's Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Pittsburgh with the Padres. Padres about to start another must-sweep series. Like we said, the Nationals were bad. The Pirates are horrendous. The Pirates, Ryan, we can talk about that. I'll tell you about the Pirates whenever it is that you would like to talk about the Pirates. I don't know what to say anymore about this team. So tell me, where do you want to start?
I mean, I think we got to start big picture. You know, Kevin, they have said and we have written that the series against the Nationals was a must win and a must, possibly even a must sweep. And then they go out and they lose 2-3. You know, they lose to Mackenzie Gore on Sunday, who looked like Cy Young. This is a team that, again, is struggling to score runs, is struggling to hit situationally. When you call your shot and you say, we better sweep these dudes, what's the reaction when you don't?
And And to be clear, not everybody was saying that, and I don't even know that anyone used the word sweep, but yes, that was the thinking, right? Like, Right. Yes, this is where we get back above 500, right? Mm-hmm. This was the period, and it didn't happen. And so what's the reaction to that? I mean, it was, I would say arguably, and I have to say arguably because I'm not inside of people's heads, and you know, I wasn't cataloging every post-game loss, what the clubhouse was like, but arguably as dejected, as quiet as I have seen it. It is no longer like, hey, there's a lot of season left. There might still be guys saying we've got time, and technically they do. Technically they have plenty of time. But, you know, and I've gone back, Ryan, and they do. Like, fine, whatever. But, like, there just isn't a whole lot to make you think that this team has it in it.
The Padres have to win 50 more times this year, more or less, to be in contention for a playoff spot. Not to make the playoffs, Kevin, to be in contention. And, you know, our Tom Krasovic had a column about that today. This is something the Padres have done. Bad Padres teams have gone on heaters where they won 50 in a stretch of, what is it, 84 games. Bad Padre teams have done it. So it's not like it can't be done. But Kevin, when I look back at evidence that this team is capable of sustained success, I don't see a whole lot. I mean, you go back to Mexico City, which was like playing on the moon. You go back to the two games last week where they scored, what, 13 and 10 or something in back-to-back games. But then you follow that up with another stinker. Is there anything that leads you to think, Kevin, that they're capable of a run like this?
What they've done at certain times, in terms of if the specific question is capable of a run, I mean, my first answer would be no. You look at a lot of the peripheral stats of, you know, clutch hitting and that type of thing, and they're abysmal. But their pitching has been pretty good, right?
Yeah, really good.
They do have the capability offensively, and I don't think that all of their players have forgotten how to play baseball. So I want to say yes. Now, I looked at the 2021 Braves, who were under 500 for 99 games, or they went back and forth and then were under 500 for a long time. I'm sorry, 109 games. They were under 500. They were 54-55. On August 7th of 2021, they finally got to 500 for the last time and then took off. Okay. To the point that they were 500, they were 16-21 in one run games. That's not as bad as the Padres, but it's a losing record, right? So if you want to say, oh, the Padres aren't showing any heart, they don't have any fight. Okay. The 2021 Braves won the World Series. They were plus 63. The 2021 Braves were in run differential. That's better than the Padres. Okay. But the Padres are the, I think, second best of the losing teams in terms of their run differential. I forget what it is now. Is it 29? Is it 30, 34? So it's, they have time, but, and projecting in this game is ridiculous. I think it was a good point by Tom to say that bad teams have gone on 50-34 runs, but you know, it's been this way for a while. Wait and see. I cannot stress to you how bad the Pirates are.
Yes, yes. To me, the Pirates' most interesting player is a guy who won't play this year, is O'Neill Cruz. And it's only because O'Neill Cruz is like a 6'7" shortstop and super fun to watch. Kevin, the thing – so we've been talking for months saying that if this team needed a bat or an arm and if they were coming up to the trade deadline, that Peter Seidler would be willing to invest more to get this team over the line. At some point, you're all in, right? Has that changed?
I don't think so, but they haven't shown that they're that team that they're close. So I don't know where that's going to go. All right.
Right.
Are they looking? Are they open? Yeah, sure. But I don't know where that's going to go. We're a month and like 5 days away. So we're getting close to seeing. Mm-hmm. But like I wrote before, is I think it's a crucial period. You know, they believe, and I think it's more true than ever, that they have the pieces, right? Like, but I think that that belief is more like, we should have the pieces, right? Like, how could we possibly make the argument that we don't have the pieces?
Right. On paper, they have the pieces.
Yeah. And I think that belief is something that's what it's based on, because it couldn't be based on anything else.
Sure. Another point that Kraz made today, and I thought it was interesting, was he pointed to essentially Xander Bogaerts and Jake Cronenworth as two guys who need to step it up. And I think we've talked at length this year about Soto, talked at length this year about Manny, talked a little bit about Bogaerts. I'd like to get into Cronenworth a little bit. He signed a contract extension the first weekend of the season. He's somebody who I think is universally liked, if not beloved, in that clubhouse. Somebody who works his tail off. What is wrong with Jake Cronenworth, who's hitting .210 right now?
Working too hard, trying to make too much happen. I think you've seen some swing changes. Now, there's always swing changes. I know that people are looking at these guys swinging differently. And okay, you know what? There are some guys that have been trying to hit 22 run home runs. Okay. And they've been guilty of that. You know, Jake is always tinkering. Does he tinker too much? I've said that in past years, that's a possibility. It's pretty bad. His clutch stats are down, and that's not been an issue in the past. There's not a whole lot going right for Jake at this point. I think his walk rate is up. His swing and miss is up. His strikeouts are up. Some things that you could count on before. Not going the other way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big one. I think it's a big one because he was below. I'll still put this on the big four, and I'll still put this on Manny. I don't know how Manny Machado gets a pass. Mm-hmm. And the numbers are coming up, but the clutch numbers are not there. And I know that those fluctuate and that some people don't even believe in clutch numbers. But you just got a $350 million contract. I hate putting it all on one guy, and I'm not putting it all on him. But you don't give Manny Machado a pass. But right below the big four, right, is Jake Cronenworth. You expect that he would be a guy who would contribute. I've written about it before. He's one of the most fascinating guys who, you know, maybe his final numbers, the numbers that we look at in terms of OPS and batting average and all that, they're not great, but he does so much. It's like crazy how much he does to contribute to winning. And that's not happening this year.
Right. Jake Cronenworth is I think a winning player.
Yes.
In general, who's not having a winning player kind of season. And again, I know all-star games are subjective, but my goodness, he's a two-time all-star. Who's hitting .210?
He's a two-time all-star, like voted by or like put in there because like, you know, players and people that like know the game put him in there. Right. I mean, aside from that, there's all sorts of things that I've like in the past, I've done whole stories on, you know, just the way that he contributes in different ways, be it obviously defensively, though that's okay this year. I don't really believe in defensive metrics a lot because I see a lot of things with my eyes that say, wait a minute, what the heck? I mean, there's times when Manny Machado's like 12th in war, defensive runs saved or whatever. He's not there. He's not getting those RBIs, the hits. You know, Jake Cronenworth can have like the most productive 1-for-5. Yeah. But he's not having those now. It's bad. And I do believe that is important because, like I said, he's that second tier guy. And at the bottom of that, like first tier is Xander Bogaerts, who injury and, you know, getting messed up there. And he's just been a guy who when you're batting fourth and fifth, right, you're going to come up a lot of times with runners in scoring position, a chance to affect the game. And he hasn't.
Sure. And at some point, your contract dictates your maybe your level of importance or your level of responsibility. And this is a guy who's making a lot of money, who is signed to be sort of the final piece to this. And there's a segment of the fan base, I'm sure, that wonders why Ha-Seong Kim wasn't just their starting shortstop for 2023 and why the Padres didn't spend that money on an outfielder or a pitcher.
And that's a fair thing to look back on. Now, I don't think the level of excitement would have been as high, right? So, people got to look at ourselves and go, man, we back then at the beginning of the season, we would have been wondering, was this the smartest move? Yes, defensively. Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. But is Ha-Sung Kim going to continue to ascend as an offensive player? Is that going to be a hole for the Padres? We would have been saying that. Okay. Yeah. Like yeah. every, like 95% of people would have been saying that. It's easy to look back in hindsight. Yep. Look at Ha-Sung Kim, 250 hitter playing the best shortstop in the league, arguably. Holy smokes. The most versatile defender that they have. Like, wow. Yes. That's right. Fair. That's absolutely mm-hmm. fair.
Yeah. It's, I mean, to me, that's interesting. Can we double back on Cronenworth for a minute? As these losses have piled up and as his numbers have gone down, I have seen and heard some questions about the length and the terms of his contract. And why necessarily that had to get done, and why the Padres would give somebody who, again, maybe is a winning player, but maybe not somebody who's terribly in demand, why they would give him that deal. Kevin, you had unique insight on this and what the market's going to look like by the end of his contract. Why did they do what they did when they did it?
First off, that's another fair question. And, you know, there's certainly no guarantee that this ends up being like a good contract. Right. I mean, Jake was going to be an old first-time free agent. And what was he going to get? I mean, that probably depended on how he finished, right? Mm-hmm. Heck, maybe he's one of the guys. And if you were going to ask me to bet, I would bet that he's one of the guys pressing because of the contract. Yeah. All right. So, you know, we don't know. But Jake Cronenworth making, you know, $7 million or, you know, $12 million in 5 years, that's just going to be an average player. And Jake War, that's good. That's a good, that should be his nickname. Right. You know, Jake Cronenworth is not an average player. Right. This year, he's not even there, but Jake Cronenworth is an above average player. And what the Padres did was say, you know what, because of the makeup, we are going to bet on this guy that this is going to be a good contract. Look, certain people maybe got caught up in the, oh, there's another contract. This was not a huge contract for the Padres. It came at a time when, you know, they were making all these moves. So it got celebrated like that. And it was cool because people love Jake. And so it was really, people were genuinely happy for him. But no, that is an absolutely fair question. The Padres did not have to do that, just like they did not have to do Manny Machado. We can debate the wisdom of that, and we very well may for many years.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny. $80 million is generational wealth to everybody. And on this team, yeah, it's not even a big deal. It's not even a big contract. Kevin, I feel like we're beating a dead horse here, but Padres playing the Pirates. After that, they're playing the Reds, who may be good now. This stretch before the All-Star break, if the last 2 weeks have been important, these next 2 weeks are even more so. Sort of what's the magic number that has you thinking that this team is still in it as they go to the All-Star break?
A winning record. I mean, and not like, 12 games. So not 7-5, like 8-4, right? Huh. Like their goal, not like they wrote it down on a chalkboard, is that I'm aware of, or a whiteboard, since I don't know that chalkboards exist anymore. Thank goodness. Cause I still can hear the nails on there. But you know, 10-5 starting with the Washington series. And, you know, that would have got them to at that time, what it would have been 3 over. And it's not just like the number at that point. It's like, oh, they went 10-5 and it's getting later and they're putting it together. And so, all right, right. Off and running. That was the feeling they felt they would have had. And so now, boom, you wash away that clunker against the Nationals and you go, all right, what's the goal now? Well, I don't know that they'll have one. There are some guys in there that are counseling. They need to take this like one series at a time and that sort of thing. One game at a time, that sort of thing. Like the Nationals did in 2019. What was their mantra? Did you win today or, right. You know, 1-0 or whatever it was? Well, yeah. Okay. But I'm going to say that of those 12 games, 8-4. Now, I'm not saying the season's over if they don't. They need to get to 500. That's for sure. They're 4 under right now. So I just guess I just got them to 500 at 8-4, didn't I?
Right.
So yeah, look, the Pirates are what we thought they were. Like at this point, the Pirates are exactly pretty much where I thought they would be when they start out. What was it? 20-9.
Right.
No, very little doubt in my mind because baseball is the most predictable of sports, as unpredictable as it is. Right. Mm-hmm. No doubt in my mind they were going to be about where they are now by the time I visited Pittsburgh. For those same reasons, that's why we thought the Padres would be at least where the Phillies are now, right?
Right.
Like, you know, rebounded up 3 games above 500, 5 games above 500, whatever. The Pirates, they've lost, is it 12 of 13, 11 of 12, whatever it is. They've got some guys mired in amazing slumps, slumps that make Jake Cronenworth and Xander Bogaerts look like they're hot. But those guys are not making the big bucks either.
Right. The expectations were not that high. And then you look at the Reds, who, you know, in the middle of a winning streak of their own, I mean, they've won 7 of their last 10, even though they've lost 3 in a row. But you know, the Reds had won 10 straight, I believe, before losing 3 in a row here lately. Yeah. This is a team that, you know, is 3 games over 500, if you can believe that. But if you and I were placing bets right now, I think we'd probably both bet that the Reds are sort of near the bottom of their mediocre division here by the end of the season.
It's such a mediocre division. Mm-hmm. It depends. That now, it's funny that people I have heard talk, and I haven't talked to anybody in the game about this because I really don't care, but I suppose it, I mean, I should I should very soon find out who the buyers are and all that stuff. But people are talking as if the Reds are going to be buyers. I remember when we were there last year and people were like practically picketing their owner, basically, right? Like what are the Reds going to be buyers now? I mean, hey, they just ate the money on Will Myers. So, okay, maybe they will be. But, yeah, without being buyers, it's tough to see them winning that division. What's funny is that, like, the Reds winning 10 in a row and then losing 3 in a row, like, it's exactly why the Padres believe, like, we can do this. Like, what? Like, the season is so long and it has so many compartments. And, like I said, the Pirates were 20-9. I mean – like Kraz wrote, the bad Padres teams have gone 50-34. Like, it is entirely possible. I'm not going to say probable anymore like I was, but it's entirely possible that the Padres go on a run here. It just is. I mean, the amount – I've written about this. The amount of times they've had the tying run on base in their losses. I mean, it's amazing. Now, at the end of the season, or heck, in a month, we might say, look, none of that mattered because they didn't get it done.
Right.
But like, if that's how we're going to be, then like, let's not even talk about why are you watching, you know, like, why are you watching their games? Like, this is, to me, it's fascinating what is happening with the Padres.
It is super fascinating. At some point, will Rich Hill face Nelson Cruz today? And if that's the case, can a certain 42-year-old, I will be dancing across the room.
I knew you would be very excited about that. You're right in the middle of them in terms of age, I believe.
Yes.
You know, Rich Hill is the oldest player in the major leagues. So that makes Nelson Cruz the oldest position player in the major leagues.
Yep.
So the two will likely face off. I think that will be that'll be a lot of fun, huh?
Yeah, Nelson Cruz turns 43 on Saturday, by the way, Kevin. So
that means early happy birthday to you, because I believe that makes your birthday Sunday.
I am one whole day younger than Nelson Cruz. So so long as he is playing in the big leagues, my hopes of playing in the big leagues remain alive. So that's good. I mean, to me, it's fascinating pitching matchups. I mean, Yu Darvish, Rich Hill, tonight, tomorrow, you've got Snell versus Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller's been really good. I mean, 6-8-3 record, 3.5 ERA, maybe the de facto ace of that team. And I don't know a whole lot about the guy who's going up against Joe Musgrove on Thursday. That's Ortiz.
Luis L. Ortiz?
Yes, but great L. Yes, Luis L. Ortiz. I mean, 3.75 ERA, 31 strikeouts.
Here's the thing. None of those three should matter. Right. Like I said, their offense is doing terribly. Their bullpen, we thought the Nationals was bad, and it is. But they I think, let's see, after Friday's game, they were the worst. The Nationals bullpen, I think they gave up 6 of their 13 runs in like 4 innings. They were the worst in the major leagues in ERA and batting average allowed. And over the final 2 games, allowed 2 runs in 7 2/3 innings on 3 hits.
Woo.
The Padres completely laid an egg against what had been the worst bullpen. Let's see, the Pirates, I don't want to get this wrong. The Pirates bullpen has the 7th highest ERA and the 4th highest batting average allowed in the major leagues. So whatever. Rich Hill's been going 5. I mean, Rich Hill could pitch forever if he keeps doing this. You know, every once in a while, giving you a 7-inning, 2-run game, giving you 5 quality starts out of his 15 starts, but always going 5 innings. Now, maybe he gives up 6 runs, but he's always going 5 innings. So that's what you're going to get from Rich Hill. But whatever you get from those pitchers, this is the epitome of a series where the Padres say, it's about us. Mm-hmm. this team is not good enough to be bothered with in terms of that. I'm the guy, by the way, just have to always remember that or remind people because it seems that people's memory is so short. I'm the perspective guy. Mm-hmm. I know those guys make money. I know those guys have analytics departments and video, and that the Padres are playing professional players tonight. The Padres are supposed to be so much better than this. And at this point in the season, just go out there and beat this team.
Absolutely. Interesting series if you're a San Diegan or somebody with a long memory. Got Connor Joe, who I believe is he's a USD Torero, isn't he? Mm-hmm. You've got Jack Sawinski, former Padre minor leaguer. And, of course, you have David Bednar, all-star closer.
15 saves. I believe he's on an 11-save run. So when I say their bullpen, I say, you know, maybe get to him before you get to if David Bednar's in trying to close out a save.
Right. And, of course, you have Austin Hedges. Kevin, did you and Hedges talk much when you were covering the team? And where does he land on your list of
a smart guys guy to who wanted to be more than he was capable of being, right? Like he wanted to be a part of this and be a, you know, a leader and all that. Look, he can't hit, you know, okay. He's one of their guys really struggling. So is Jack Sawinski. I don't believe they have a hit in over a week, either one of them. And they're playing a fair amount. This is like, because of who he is as a person and as a catcher, he's been able to continue with a job because, you know, he's not been good offensively.
Remember when the Padres traded a bunch of guys because they needed a catcher who could hit? Remember? Anyway. Last thing, we're coming up on our 30 minutes here, Kevin. Brought this up a little bit before I went on camera. I'm fascinated by your road trip stuff. I'm fascinated by the fact that you spend the summers going from city to city. If we're ranking kind of Rust Belt area cities, where's Pittsburgh?
Number one. It's beautiful. It's underrated. I'm looking out at bridges and a river right now. It rains here a lot, so it's green. I'm telling you, you look out from the ballpark. The ballpark's nothing special. It's not bad, but it's nothing special. But you are looking out onto a hillside that is lush and green, and there's a row of bridges along the Allegheny. Just fantastic. Love it.
Nice. Cincinnati by comparison?
Nothing there, but I happen to like it more than most. I think the ballpark's a neat little toy ballpark. I think the people are nice. There's nothing in Cincinnati. Cleveland is probably the most underrated, but I only say that. Like, Pittsburgh's the most underrated because it's actually beautiful. Cleveland's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Right.
Not even close.
But, of course, you like Detroit.
Funny. Yeah, Detroit. Listen, the truth is, it's not bad. I walk to the ballpark, but it can get a little sketchy. I don't want to get into the story here, but I came maybe inches of my life last year on a walk back to the hotel. Detroit's a little sketchy, but look, the Midwest is beautiful. California is completely overrated. What do we have? We have the beach. We have 72 degrees, right? If you've traveled and seen real green on the East Coast, the South, the Midwest, like, there are some beautiful parts of this country. There's a reason I live in California. Yeah, my wife makes me. No, I'm just kidding. I love California, but it's like, you know, we don't have this. We just don't. You get out and see some places.
Absolutely. Gosh, this was almost your Will Myers says North Carolina Mexican food is better than California Mexican food moment. You walked it back.
Walk it back. I want people to understand I love California and I love San Diego. But like to think that, I mean, it's neat. It's a neat place. It's unique. There's a reason that we pay the weather tax. But there are some beautiful parts of this country. Man, they're really beautiful.
One of the things I liked back in a previous life, I covered college football. And I used to have this thought driving to Pullman, Washington in October. And it's stunning. Stunning. I mean, it's harvest season and, you know, golds and all of this on the Palouse. And I go, nobody I know would willingly take a trip to Pullman, Washington. And yet here I am. I don't know a whole lot of San Diegans who are going to spend their summers alternating between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. But there you are, and you are reporting that it is, in fact, two lovely places to visit this time of year.
My family, for about 5-6 straight summers, we spent a couple weeks in Minnesota because we had friends there. People, what are you doing leaving San Diego for Minnesota? That means you've never been to Minnesota, in the summer. Yes, mosquitoes. Yes, it can be humid. But 10,000 lakes, pretty cool, man.
Absolutely. And it stays light out to like, what, 9:30
at night? Oh, my gosh, yes. Almost any more longer than any place but Seattle. Seattle's unbelievable.
That's so
practically
cool.
Alaska up there. But it's, yeah, there's just beautiful other parts of the city. Now, someone to think that someone's Mexican food is better than ours is probably like, hey, to each their own, right? Like you like queso out of a plastic thing. That's cool. Whatever. But you're, I mean, like that doesn't make you right. Like the Mexican food. Now that's something we could argue about a little bit.
Yeah. I will stump for New Mexico. Mexican food,
different types of
different types.
I have family there. I call it New Mexican food. It is, it's a different type.
Yes. Yes. Big fan, big fan. If you're ever in Albuquerque, Sadie's.
Now I can't say anything good about Arizona, but.
Oh, how dare you? How dare you, Kevin? How dare you? This seems like a good place to jump off. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Pirates, 3 games. Padres then go on to Cincinnati before returning home to play to face the Angels and the Mets. Pretty cool. So that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. We'll talk again Friday. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.